Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
Tonight, we are embarking on our fourth lesson on the power and the presence of God. And this is not the final lesson. I have one more lesson that I will be teaching, and I think I'm scratching this again. One more lesson that I will be teaching, and some of you will really be interested in that. Our next lesson will be on women in the church. So, women or not, you'll be interested in that, because there are some scriptures that are given in the concerning the role of women in the church, and they're quite controversial, and I think that we can show very clearly what the Bible's trying to say. And so people come in and say, well, it says, let the women keep silent in the church. We'll find out what that scripture really means and what the context was of that passage of scripture. And as you know, we're big on context. So what we're going to do tonight is we're going to review just quickly, and these are some scriptures that we've been putting up week after week in review. Is first is that this stuff we know by the Holy Ghost. This is how we know that these things are true, and we're exploring the gifts of the Spirit. Secondly, that one of the ways that we prepare ourselves is we learn to pray in the Spirit, so we're connected with the Spirit of God. So if you want God to use you in one of the nine gifts, and there are other gifts, then pray and get connected with the Spirit of God. So when we come together as a group of believers, you're ready and engaged in what God is doing already. And also the entrance to the gifts, which we found in 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse number 5, it's through worship that we enter into the presence of God. And time after time in the Old Testament, you would see that if you discovered when God spoke through the prophetic gifts, they would worship Him, and then the Word of God would come, because God inhabits the praise of His people. These things are very important. And then finally, in review, we see that it is our job to not be anxious, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And that's a good mantra to live by, especially in these tumultuous times. We're in the middle of tumult in our nation and in our world, and Jesus Christ really is the answer. And thank you for fasting and praying last week, and we are seeing some movement in our nation or in our city. They're actually going to prosecute some of the criminals, they say. So that's a good thing, because lawlessness is not healthy for any of us. It's good for all of us. And if we pray, then we can leave it with God, and His peace will guard our hearts and mind through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then another big part of maintaining our sanity and be ready for what God wants to do is to think on the right things. And I don't know about you, but there's times where I just need to push the button and change the station, because I've gotten my fill of the negativity. And it's like, okay, now, I don't know if you've noticed it, if you get up early enough, and I commuted for many years, and sometimes it was at 6 o'clock, sometimes it was 7 o'clock hour, sometimes a little bit earlier. They just repeat the news every hour, and it's the same negative stuff that you get every hour. And I'm older than some of you, not as old as others, but I remember when they had the morning news and the evening news, and that was good enough. And I can't even remember what they filled the rest of the day with, some kind of talk and music and stuff like that. But now we have a 24-hour news cycle that's filled with gossip and with presumptions and speculations, and it's crazy. So you would do yourself well not to gorge on that kind of a stuff. And just, I'm telling you how I do it. I have to just say, it doesn't matter what they send me. You know, you can get on YouTube and you can watch stuff, and if you watch enough of one thing, they recommend other things. And you could gorge on stuff that would just kill your spirituality, that would kill your connection with God. So that's why we do pray and we do fast, is we take time to set aside. And on my fast days, I don't go to the news. And sometimes I get an accidental, like today I got an accidental because I got in my car and turned it on and the news station was on. So it's like, oh, no, or we don't need that. Let's poke that off. But I do that intentionally to separate myself unto God. But with all of these gifts, it's a learning curve. We learn how to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. It's just like any tool that has been given to us in life. So what we are embarking on is part number four. And remember, again, the biggest motivation is love. This is about the love of the brotherhood. This is about a love for God. This is about a love for the body of Christ. And we're going to discuss the final three gifts tonight. And the first one is the gift of faith. The second one is the gift or gifts of healing. And the final one is the working of miracles. So we're going to explain these. And before we do, just so we don't realize how many miracles God has done in our midst, or how many healings that God has performed in our midst, or how many times God maybe has used us in the gift of faith. And the gift of faith often is the door that opens the way for the gifts of healing and for the working of miracles, and they're coupled together. And so we're going to explain what that is. But before we do, how many of you have been ever healed because you've been prayed for? Okay, so everybody keep your hands up and look around. Okay, now you put them down. How many of you have had a miracle because you've been prayed for? Okay, so see, look around. So miracles and healings do happen in the Church of the Living God. Now, I talked to Brother Philip just on Monday, and last Thanksgiving, we recorded a half dozen of you telling the miracles that God had done in your life, and we're hoping in the next month to begin to broadcast those with regularity on our Facebook page, because we're not broadcasting our service, but we want people to know that something is going on in the kingdom of God. So when we talk about the gifts of miracle or healing and the working of miracles, they are alive and well in the church today. Now, we don't happen to hang our hat on that in the church. It's not about the signs and the wonders, but the signs and wonders follow them that believe. And so there are some out there that it's all about the miracle, the miracle, the miracle, and they only tell the miracles or the presumed miracles that had happened. But if we as the church embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ, then we'll go out and we'll declare his gospel, and those signs will follow us. And as you know, we've been attaching a beatitude oftentimes and a fruit of the Spirit with these gifts. And the attitude that we need to have with these gifts is that, first of all, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So we need to work on the Beatitudes. And I don't think I've said this in the last few weeks, but the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter number 5, I like to remember it this way. I'll be having this attitude. That's the way I think about it. Because a Beatitude is a willful choice. That we choose to have that attitude. My mother used to say, change your attitude. I don't know if your parents ever told you that. Mine did. And I figured out I could. Because if I didn't, there were consequences if I didn't change my attitude. Because usually attitude brought action. And that's the way it is in our life. So if we can develop these good beatitudes, if we can develop the fruit of the Spirit, it will engender the working of the gifts of the Spirit. It just makes it for a more hospitable environment. I was talking to the guys the other day, or somebody somewhere, and I don't know if you've ever seen somebody drop something on the floor and pick it up. You know, it's 5-second rule, and they can still eat it. You ever heard that, 5-second rule? I saw an article a while back, does the 5-second rule really work? Well, with most guys it does, but with some people it doesn't. But a germ is a germ, right? And there's some foods that I just have never had a taste for because of their smell. And I remember I had a newspaper customer, and when I walk up to their door, I'd think, what in the world is that awful smell? Well, finally, I asked them what that smell was, and it was Limburger cheese. Yeah, And they don't sell that, I don't think, in the store much, but it has the most raunchy smell that I could believe. And it's like, you ingest that? You stick that in your pie hole? I mean, it's like, really, guys? That smells bad. I can't. You got to plug your nose to eat it, you know? Hopefully, it'll change your sense of smell. So we, if we have a bad attitude, God will have a hard time with us. And so there are some, I remember, we adjust ourselves, and there are some things I used to deliver to a rendering plant, and believe it or not, they had a lunchroom at the rendering plant. Now, if you don't know what a rendering plant is, those are the guys that go up, pick up the dead cows that have died, and they're bloated in the field, and they take them in, and they render them, or they, you know, they use the parts that they can use for whatever. And it was like, I had to deliver to that place, and it was nasty smelling. And then one day, I realized, they got a lunchroom here, because the guys were eating lunch. And I'm thinking, I'm just trying to hold my breath and get out of here, and it was my last stop of the morning, and get back to where I had to drop off the linens or their coveralls, because I could not handle that smell. I just wanted out of there. But we can adjust ourselves, and the problem is we acclimate to what's going on in our world oftentimes. And proof is I'm not going to ask how many of you were this way, but when you came to the Lord Jesus Christ, you didn't realize how vulgar your mouth was till you got around clean-speaking people. Or you didn't realize how vulgar the programming was you watched till you got the Holy Ghost and you went, I can't believe I've been watching that. I can't believe I've laughed at that. Because there's a change that happens when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. The challenge that I have in my world, and likely you do too, is keeping that sensitivity to the Holy Ghost and being offended by what offends God and embracing what He embraces. Is that we cannot afford to get used to the culture around us and saying, I'm going to maintain a particular distance from culture. That's not what Christianity is about. That's not, holiness is not how far you are from your culture. It's how close you are to God. Because culture just floats all over the place. So we're pursuing holiness or being like Him or being close to Him. So the first gift that we're going to talk about tonight, which is the pure in heart, goes with, is the gift of faith. Faith is assurance, confidence, conviction, and reliance on God. So we know that to every one of us is given a measure of faith. But this is the gift of faith. So this is above and beyond. A place where we're totally reliant on Him. We're totally convicted or convinced that He's going to do what He said He would do. This is something that comes direct from God. It is above your usual measure. I hope you will or have experienced this. A moment in time where you were able to believe something and speak to something that was way outside of your wheelhouse. Now, some of my faith in my life has come because of need, and I've prayed and God has met those needs. And so, for instance, in financial needs, I have no problem believing that God's going to meet my financial need. He let me walk to the edge of bankruptcy, and then he asked me who was in charge and who was the provider. I said, well, you are. And he said, well, let me be. So I let Him be. And since that time, I have no worry about the finances of the church or myself. That doesn't mean we go foolishly, but for praying for financial provision, that's no big deal. That's in my wheelhouse because I've learned that. I've grown through that. And each one of us have an area in our life where we have grown through faith. I told you, probably a couple of years ago about Mother Pope and Brother Tony and Brother Mark and Brandon. Few of you will remember her. And Mother Pope, she would pray and she'd say, Pastor, I need some new furniture. I'm going to pray for it. And okay, she really didn't need it. She's a single woman and she had a house full of furniture anyway. But she would pray for that furniture and God would give it to her. Or she'd pray, oh, I want that crystal bowl. Pray for me, God, Pastor. And I'm thinking, I don't know if I can pray that God will give you a crystal bowl. I'd say, okay, and I'd say a night obligatory prayer, you know. But she'd get it. And she learned that God would give her. And so when we decided to buy this, our first church building, she asked where it was. And I tried to describe to her, and she said, she's dead, so it's not her that's doing this on the street now. But she said, don't describe what's around me, Pastor. All I see is the hood in front of me and the road. I don't see anything around me. So I told her where it was, and she went over, and the next Sunday she said, it's ours, Pastor. I marched around the block 7 times and claimed it in Jesus' name. Well, she had faith and had grown her faith for God providing these material things. So this is not what we're talking about. Each one of us have an area of specialty, so there are things that we easily believe God for that others don't. And the same thing with deliverances. If you have been delivered from anger or alcohol or pornography or some kind of an addictive or obsessive thing, if you've been delivered, you have no problem praying for people because you've been delivered and you know it's possible. So we build on our past experience. But the faith I'm talking about is when all of a sudden God comes into your life and you speak to things and they happen. And you're shocked that they happen. Now, some of the people that have the gifts of faith, they grow into that. And because God gives you that, you have no problem praying for things. It's a time when you have an uncommon level of faith and you speak and all doubt is gone. You just know it's done. Now, it's kind of like this. I told you an illustration of when I was walking through our auditorium and Sister Colleen, she was the first one that got the Holy Ghost in our church after we came to Portland. And she'd had surgery on her gallbladder and had it removed, and she still had pain a year later. And she kept coming for prayer. And by the way, my policy is keep asking until God says no or he doesn't. And that's exampled in the importunate woman that just kept coming to the judge and said, avenge me, avenge me, avenge me. And the Bible says he didn't regard man and he didn't regard God, but he was just tired of her and finally said, take care of this woman's problem. So wear God out if you have to. That's all right. And so I'm not criticizing somebody that keeps coming. Keep coming. But when I walked by her one day, I wasn't even thinking about it. I just reached out and touched her on the forehead, and I said, God has healed you in Jesus' name. Well, it was the working of miracles, but it was also the gift of faith because I spoke something just without doubt. Now, later I doubted it. Have you ever doubted something after you proclaimed that you didn't doubt something? That's humanity. That's that voice sequence again in my experience of first it's God and then it's the devil that tries to steal it and then you rationalize it and that's all he has to do is get you to question and you'll kill it eventually. But if you can push his question out and embrace the declaration of God, he can't kill it. What would have our world been like if Eve would have said, just get out of here. Get thee behind me. If she just resisted and eventually he would have fled because they had dominion and she could have taken that dominion. So it's an uncommon level. So what I want to ask you to do is last week we had a flowing of the Holy Ghost at the end where there were tongues and interpretation and sometimes we don't know how to respond to it. And, you know, it's like, let me put it this way, just on tongues and interpretation, is that how many of you ever held a little child and say, Dada, Mama, Papa. I got the easiest name in the world. I got liberty to say Papa before she said Mama. Now, Sister Erica was not happy about that, and I remind her about it every once in a while. I'm more important than you. She says, well, you can buy her all her clothes. Finally, she said that, so not a big deal. But we try to get them to say that, and they don't really say it, but we think we want them to believe. It takes them time to develop their language. That's the way it is in the gift of tongues, is that it's almost like baby talk. We don't hit it right the first time, but eventually we'll get there. And so let's be patient with each other. The gift of faith is the same way. We don't even recognize what it is till after it happens sometimes. And that's how we know the voice of God is also often we're looking in the rearview mirror and we're going, oh, that's what that's about. It's like hearing a siren. And you say, is that the music? No, it's not the music. Is it the voices in my head? Well, maybe. But no, it's really a siren. And then you see the flashing lights and you go, oh, that's where it's at. And sometimes hearing God is that way, and it takes time for us to hear the voice of God because we've got to focus. And some people can only focus if it's totally quiet. If you're one of those people that has to have everybody shut up to do your homework, then it's going to take a lot more effort for you to be used in the gifts of the Spirit. Because we have to be able to focus on other things other than just the noise that's going on around us. So listen to God and don't be afraid to go and pray for people. I pastored a lady about 33 years ago. And I remember when she got the Holy Ghost, she was an RN. She worked at the hospital. And her last name was Pandachuk. And she went to the hospital and she came to me and she said, "Pastor, can I pray for people at the hospital?" I said, "I don't care. Absolutely." Well, there was an individual that was dying of a lung disease in the hospital, and she was treating that patient, and she went into the room, and she felt like she needed to pray for him, and she prayed for him, and the next day when she went back, the room was empty. So she asked around, and they said, "Oh, they went home. They're fine." So it was this, "I'm going to pray." Well, that was the gift of faith. Well, then there was somebody else that was had heart disease, and she prayed for them, and she came to me heartbroken because the next day she went back, and they were dead. And she said, "What's wrong with me?" No, it's not what's wrong with you. And sometimes God doesn't heal people. It's like I said the other day, you all got to die someday, right? To get to heaven anyway. So you got to decide whether or not you want to go to heaven. It might be boom, like that, if we come in the first resurrection or the catching away of the bride of Christ. But use your faith. Speak faith. And it will happen. And sometimes what we speak doesn't happen immediately. It happens later on. So now we want to go to the other gifts after we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, affection, pure and warmth, and unrestrained. This is a key. This is one of the keys, fruits of the Spirit, in to be used to this gift. Because you got to be compassionate. You got to be aware of others' needs. Some of us have to work on that. I told you, I have to pray through regularly to love my world like Jesus loved them. And I have to ask God to forgive people and ask God to forgive me and ask Him to fill me with His compassion. And I'm not saying we're vile people, but our world banters and beats against truth and against righteousness so much, sometimes we just want, "Oh, let me out of here." But you know, there's idiots everywhere. Maybe that was the wrong word. Yeah, but you know, We have got to work on our attitude. I can still love even when I'm not loved because I have the Holy Ghost. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts through the gift of the Holy Ghost. So the attitude that we need to have is, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." And that poor in spirit, what it literally means, blessed are those that know they really need God. That they say, "God, I need you, I need you." That poor in spirit. Those that realize that they can't do it without God. We have to be totally and solely reliant on God. So now the gift of faith works with the gifts of healing and the gifts of working of miracles. Now let's describe what the gift of healing is. A healing would be a cure, a correction, or improvement. And that's probably the most important word. That's why I underlined it. And now I want to go through this on the next slide. It's a process of restoration. How many of you know your body oftentimes will heal itself? Is that you can scrape it and a few days later, it's absolutely fine. And you don't even have a scar oftentimes. It's only a deep wound that leaves a scar. God created our body to regenerate us. That's part of the problem with sin, is sin has taken away that regeneration. It's messed it up. So it is the process of healing the human body or of the elements a change of the elements, it's a process again, or a healing of relationships. Whoops, I went a little too far. Now, negative symptoms may be present until the process is complete. So this is what is happening. Say somebody, and I'm going to use something that I had. I remember I had the mumps, okay? And it was like a two-week cycle to get rid of the mumps. You know what the mumps are? You don't see them anymore, but you just look like you got knots right back here in your nodules, and they swell up, and all the people over 50 are knowing what it is, and the people that are in their 30s are going, mumps? What's that? You know, because we have vaccines for that, and it's almost been eradicated in our culture anyway, is that if that happens and you're prayed for and 2 days later it's gone, you're healed. If it happens and somebody prays for you and instantaneously it's gone, that's miraculous. So that's the difference between healing and miraculous. So it's an expedited process oftentimes is what a healing is. So the gifts of healing. That means we can pray over a relationship and it's mended back together. We know that without the help of God, that relationship never would have been mended together. And we know that that is a sign of salvation. Often God is working on us, but God can do God things. We got to do some things, but there's moments when we just speak over those relationships or those addictions or those fears, and oof, it's just... they wake up the next morning and go, something's different here. I think I'm all right. One of the illustrations that I would give, and I don't know if this falls in miracle or this falls in gifts of healing, but I just got a book that was written about my friend, Brother Bill Shue. He was a neighboring pastor when I pastored in Canada 35 years ago. And they didn't believe in medical insurance. And so they didn't have medical insurance, even though in Canada, you know, you pay $50 or $60 a month and it covers the whole family because it's socialized medicine. And his wife was in the yard doing something and she broke her leg. And the shin bone, the bones down there, it was at a right angle. And she fell over and there she was laying on the ground. Well, he happened to be a carpenter, so he got a couple of sticks, stakes of some kind. You know, no, he didn't get his drill and his nail. But he straightened out the leg right there where she sat or laid, and he put the wrapped it with twine, and he made a splint, and his two boys carried her into the house and laid her in bed. She got up the next morning and took that splint off and walked around, and she never had another problem in her life. And when I came to know him, it had been 20-some years earlier. But they had just done that, prayed for her in Jesus' name, and it's done. So it's hard sometimes to know, was that a miracle or was that a healing? Now, a bone will heal itself. But that was super fast. So that was a healing from God. Usually when we talk about miracles, we put them in another category. And so here's another fruit of the Spirit that goes with that is joy. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. Elation, happiness, excitement. In other words, we are people that are very joyful. It's not the Eeyores of the world that God uses in the gift of faith and the working of miracles and the gifts of healing. You know who Eeyore is, right? That's the donkey in Winnie the Pooh that always walks around and goes, well, I don't know. If that's your personality, you need to work on the fruit of the Spirit called joy if you ever want to be used in one of these three gifts. And that's why when we talk about the Beatitudes and the fruit of the Spirit, they're so important, because Eeyore is always looking for the problem. Where maybe you're more like a Tigger. No problem. We can get that. We can fix that. It's a good thing. If you can think of it in that, and I know that's kind of a carnal illustration, but sometimes we need something in our real imaginary world to think about, is that joyful people are the people that say, yeah, I'll pray for that, sure. And we just operate that way, and it helps us to operate that way. Remember, developing the fruit of the Spirit and the Beatitudes helps to give a good environment. It's kind of like when you bake a cake. It's different when there's high humidity and there's low humidity. And it's different when it's high elevation or low elevation. You got to change it a little bit. And I've watched guys, and it says, well, we're not... I used to work at a cabinet shop, and we used to have to, we made brass sneeze guards, the frames for sneeze guards in the restaurants, and we'd polish them all up, and then they'd have to coat them. And there were some days there was just too high humidity, and we said, nope, can't spray that today. Why? Because it just won't stick. It won't work. So you had to have the right environment for it to work. And God's looking for the right environment. We can create the right environment. That's why we worship Him. That's why we give a time to respond, and it's feeling a little bit more healthy and a little bit more normal around here on Sunday mornings. And last Tuesday night when we say, anybody want to pray? And you come and worship and you pray and surrender and let God drive that word home in your heart so it sticks there, so you go and you live by it, or it impacts your life. And so that's part of the reason why we have prayer meetings, and we're going to go back to some of them in the month of September, where we're just going to come here and pray. And we've lost that that privilege or that timing to be able to do that, because we, and if you listen to good, worshipful, upbeat music, it will help you. It will take you out of the impossibility to the possibility, or the improbable to the very probable. And you'll begin to see the world difference. And that's why you will notice, like Brother Green, when he comes and preaches, he just preaches faith and preaches faith. And then all of a sudden you say, how come so many people got the Holy Ghost? Because he built up our faith. God didn't change at all, but our faith changed, and therefore our response to God changed. And so when the gifts are trying to be working, if we're control freaks, forget God working. We can just squeeze Him right out of the room and right out of our lives.
Right.
And before we came to Jesus, we did that. And once we came to Jesus, we went, ooh, I squeezed Him out there. He was trying to work. He was trying to reach me. And I wasn't even recognizing it. But in retrospect, we see it. And that's why it's good to look in the rearview mirror every once in a while. I remember my dad teaching me how to drive and say, you know, you look ahead and then you look in the side view and then you look in the rear view every so many seconds. And now it's so old hat that, you know, I look in my mirrors all the time. When you get out of the car, you put it in park, turn it off, never walk in front of the car, always walk around behind the car. And it's just so much of a habit, because that's how he taught me to operate an automobile. That's the way I do it, because that's how my father taught me how to do it. And so I'm conscious about some things, and I'm even unconscious about getting in the car and putting the safety belt on, because I was trained to do that from the time I started driving. So I'm not as old as some of you, because we did have seat belts in the front seat. There were options in the back seat. They weren't lap belts that went over there, you know, harnesses. But if we will train ourselves to be joyful. So whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are lovely. And also if we'll read about and celebrate others' miraculous events, it will feed us, and we will be expectant of what God wants to do. Now, the attitude with that is, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And again, it's our attitude toward God. We're bringing our mourning to God. So the working of miracles, a miracle is a wonder, a phenomenon, or a marvel. And oftentimes when I think of miracles, people think of physical miracles. Like when I asked how many of you had a miracle, well, a miracle would be like I had 80-some warts on my hands and arms, and I woke, got prayed for, woke up, boom, they're gone. Totally disappeared. Tried every medical remedy that there was that we knew of, including putting this grape nut looking stuff called fenugreek or something, wrapping it up and sleeping like this, like a mummy at night, hoping I'd wake up in the morning and those things would fall off. We tried everything. It didn't work, but God took it away. Or say you had cancer, something incurable, or emphysema, or heart disease, or Or it could even be something like demon possession. That's a miracle. That's a deliverance. Or an addiction that you could not overcome, and God came in to your life, and it's gone now. So that's the miraculous, a marvel, a wonder. So let's be careful not to pigeonhole the miraculous as only a physical healing or a physical thing that has been changed. Because God came to heal our body, soul, and spirit, and our mind. He's come to do a work in our life. So the difference between a miracle and healing is it's instantaneous and complete work, just like that. I've been there. I've watched. Not when I was praying, people pray for somebody and their leg just grows 2 inches right there in front of your eyeballs. Done. Now, one of the miracles we had in our church, I don't know when it happened. I think it was Josiah Scott was deaf. Can't remember. They had four kids and they came like that, popped them out four in a row, one a year. And I remember his mom calling me up, and she was kind of an airhead. In other words, she was funny, and miss her still. And I hear this clang, 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 clang. And her kids were a little tough on each other, so I didn't know if one of them was chasing one of them around the house, because, I mean, they'd grab. And she said, "Do you hear that?" And I said, "Yeah, what is it?" She said, "I'm banging pots and pans, and Josiah won't turn around. He can't hear me." And she took him to the doctor, and they had gone through three tests, deep tests, and they said, "He can't hear. So we want you to bring him back one time and see if we can do anything surgically to help him." And we prayed for him, and lo and behold, a few days later, she called me back, and she said, "Do you hear this?" And it was... I said, "Yeah, what is that?" She said, "I'm crumpling papers," and Josiah turned around and looked to see what the noise was. And God healed him of his deafness, and the doctors confirmed that. That's a miracle, because that's not something that just gets better over time. Only God could do that. We need miracles, signs, wonders. Our world needs that. But if we'll follow Jesus and be sensitive, it's not just the apostles that did it. It's still happening today. And it's not just the pastor that prays or the ministers of the house of God. It's the people. You look at the New Testament, they just went out in the sun. It said, and the Lord went with them. And he did the miraculous. Who? It doesn't even give their names. He said, just go preach and teach. Go do this and signs will follow. So God wants to use you. And remember, God doesn't use us because we're perfect. He uses us because he's perfect and he has a perfect plan. He has a design. And what we're doing is submitting, even if it's just momentarily, to the will and plan of God at that moment. And he works through us. And then he moves on. Just like prophecy or the word of wisdom or the word of knowledge. And you could give thousands of words of knowledge over your lifetime and not remember one of them when it comes down to the end. But that doesn't mean they were real. They were a word for somebody else. Usually we remember the miracles because they're a phenomenon. They're a miracle. They're a wonder. And Jesus used the miraculous to lead people into a closer relationship with him. And in the church, that's a great tool. And so oftentimes, God will deliver or heal or do a miracle for somebody who's brand new to him. And he's trying to show them, I care about you. So when you hear one of the worship leaders say, "Hey, fill out that back of that guest form and give us your prayer request," just like today, Sister Yvonne sent out those prayer requests of the guests that came on Sunday to the prayer team so they can pray about those needs. Why? Because God does answer those prayers. You know what's so bizarre about that sometimes? And I'm not trying to kill anybody's faith. I'm trying to lift people's faith. Is people will come and they'll be a first-time guest and they'll say, "I need a job." Okay, let's pray that God will give you a job by Friday. And he gives them a job by Friday and they don't even have much of a relationship with Jesus at all. So don't try to pre-qualify who's going to get a miracle or who's going to get a healing or do like I did after I prayed for Colleen and said, "Oh my goodness, what did I say?" God did heal her. Instantaneously, the pain was gone. And she called me the next day and said, I have no more pain. And, you know, I don't know, I don't say I was a doubting Thomas, but I'd ask her week after week, no, 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 Pastor, I don't have any more pain. Okay, I'll quit asking. Just want to see if it'll come back. No. When God does a work, it's complete. Sometimes it's the restoration of the human body. And again, that's oftentimes what we focus on. And just so you know, there are people that do have the gifts of healing and the gift of working of miracles. That's a specialty in their ministry. And we've had several of them visit. Steve Grimsley is one of them that was here most recently a couple years ago. He'll come through and this is... I say this with all respect, and I've talked to these people that have these gifts, is sometimes these people with these gifts are odd ducks. They march to a beat of a different drummer. And they just, but that's why God uses them in the miraculous. They're getting another wavelength, you know? It's like everybody else is hee-hee, and somebody's like, you know? And you watch them, but God uses them. And so there are times that we do have people and that they have those gifts. And sometimes the gift of faith is something we can transmit to others. That's why sometimes preachers, two very dear friends, Brother Lee Stone King and Brother Doug Kleindienst, and they both are gifted in the prophetic and in the working of miracles and stuff. And their gift is to the masses. Where I know others, they pray for every individual and God begins to do the miraculous, where they are able to bring faith out in others and then it just happens. So these working of miracles and the gift of faith and the gifts of healing, it doesn't have to be by touch. But it says, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That is a promise of the church. It's intervention of the elements. It's when God does the God things. It's when something happens to the elements, whether it's our body, whether it's around us. Heard a story last year. They were having rallies, or they were starting churches in North Carolina, and so what they do is they'd have an announcement. We're having a picnic and a party at the church, and we're going to have a sermon afterwards. And in one town, they prepared for 200 people, and 700 people showed up. And they just kept serving tacos. And they did not run out. God stretched it. It's kind of like the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And so God does do things like that, and he's still doing things like that today. Or it's the miraculous where you speak to the rain, and it stops, and it's gone. Or it could be, again, deliverance or provision. When we speak and God uses us, and only by God could this have been done, it is done. It's undeniable. So please, those of you especially that raised your hand and said, I've been healed or a miracle, God could use you. How about we do this? We practice over the next week thanking God for that healing or those healings. Or that miracle, or those miracles, practice over the next couple weeks. And the more we focus on what God has done for us, the more aware we will be that he can do it. And maybe he'll speak to you, and it could be that you're in the middle of a service, and you begin to, boom, you pray for somebody, and wow, I wasn't planning on doing that. But if we're in, that's why at Portland Pentecostals, of course, now we have even less of an altar. We only have about 5 foot here. But for years, we haven't had much room at the altar, right? So the whole place becomes an altar. And it's wonderful because I watch you, wonderful people of God, go pray for people. And God's using you. And you don't know sometimes that God has used you as greatly as he had. And I would say this, thank people that pray for you when something happens in your life. Thank them. Now, we're not going to get the big head over it, but we need to know, we need testimonies of what God is doing and what God has done. And so these are complete instantaneous works, and they're still happening all over the world today. And the attitude or the fruit of the Spirit that we need to be used in this is meekness, humility, gentleness, mildness, and modesty. We need to develop that so the ego doesn't become I do or I've done this, like we told you with Brother T.W. Barnes saying T.W. Barnes healing campaign and God saying, how many have you healed, boy? And he took it down and just said healing campaign because God is the one that does the healing. And so the attitude that we need to have is meekness. And then as you stand tonight, because it's about time to wrap up, we can prepare ourselves for God doing the miraculous. If you know of a need in the congregation, first of all, pray for the gifts of the Spirit. The Bible says earnestly covet the best gifts is what the King James uses. You know what covetousness is? It's when your neighbor has something and you're willing to do almost anything to get it. Even things you shouldn't do. So that's the intensity with which God wants us to pursue the gifts of the Spirit. So when you, it's not wrong to pray, God, use me. It's right to pray, God, use me. It's not wrong or inordinate for, don't feel guilty if all of a sudden you say, I want to be used in the gift of healing, gifts of healing. That's good. Pray that God would use you in the gifts of healing. But if you'll develop that meekness as well, and then learn to pray for others, we have got to practice intercession in order to impact people. We pray with the Spirit, and we pray with the understanding. And be one of those people that goes and prays for people at the end of service or in the middle of the service, and we haven't done this as much lately. Our services are scheduled where we're worshiping Jesus in the middle of worship service, and you saw what happened. Sunday, wasn't that great? It almost felt like Pentecost, second service on Sunday, and we're just having a good old time worshiping Jesus. And I just told Brandon, just do it again. Because the Holy Ghost is moving. And once the Holy Ghost is moving, just go start praying for people. So if you see somebody, and again, we do it wisely, put your mask on and pray for them from lay your hand on their shoulder from behind. You see somebody being stirred by the Holy Ghost, go say, can I pray with you? And if it's your friend, sure, you can pray with them. Pray for them, and God can do the miraculous in our midst because it's the right environment. We're trying to create an environment in this house. And then pray in the Spirit, as we said. Don't be afraid of praying in the Holy Ghost because praying in the Spirit does several things. Number one, it reveals what God intends to do. It helps us be where God wants us to be. It helps us to know when God is going to do something. And it also sometimes helps us to know how God is going to do something. So those are the 9 gifts of the Spirit. They're given to the church for edification, for exhortation, and for comfort. In other words, if we're not having all of these manifest in our midst, God is not able to comfort or exhort or edify the church as much as he would like. So if we're going to get the most out of our God experience, we need these gifts. And then perhaps soon we will talk about some other administrative gifts, just so you know there's more than 9 gifts, but those are the gifts of the Spirit. There's a gifting of deacons, which are caretakers or trustees, men that were full of faith in the Holy Ghost. You can read about them in Acts chapter number 7. The Bible talks about the gifts of helps. They're armor bearers. They're prayer warriors. God gifts people. There's the people with the gifts of governments, those that lead in administration and positions of authority. There's the gift of hospitality, like the doorkeepers, the guest care, fellowship organizers. These are all administrative gifts that are given by God. And so, we're not going to spend a lot of time on those, but we're going to talk a little bit about those in our next lesson. And then there are some other gifts that are given by God to the church. The gift of the apostles, and the apostles governed the gift of the prophecy. So it talks there's the gifts of the ministry. These are a fivefold ministry. The prophet guides, the evangelist gathers, the pastor guards, and the teacher grounds. So God's given a fivefold ministry, and we try to introduce that to the church here. That's why we have other ministers come in. There are these ministries are resident, some of them, but some of them come in. That's why we have particular individuals. We pray about it and say, God, who should we have come and minister to us? So I want you to just see a little bit more about those, the gifts of the ministry, just as a refresher, and I've got a whole other series of lessons on this. An apostle is one who plows in hope of a harvest. That's somebody that will go into brand new territory and start a work. Like when we came to Portland to start a work where there was not a work. There are many people that are apostles. That doesn't mean we knew Jesus Christ personally and were present with him when he went to Calvary. But God gives people callings and say, hey, you, go take a risk. Go do this. It's like the guy that goes as a homesteader. And he breaks the sod and he pulls out the stumps and he takes out the rocks and it's hard work. And there's a gifting of an apostle, and sometimes apostles can be very abrasive because they're just there to get the job done. Then there's the gift of the prophet, and the prophet plants prophetic utterances of things to come. So as we said, we've had ministries come through, many of them over the years. Then there's the evangelist, which is the reaper. He helps separate the wheat from the tares. That's why at this point, at least in his life, that's what Brother Chris Green, he's called to be an evangelist. He comes, we plant, we sow, we teach, and he comes and 8 or 10 or 12, 15 get the Holy Ghost in a couple weeks. Why? Because we're doing our part and he comes as a specialist to do his part. Another one is the pastor. This is what my job is to thresh with doctrine and let the winds blow away the chaff. And then finally, there's the teacher that grinds up the meal so it can bake in the oven or breaks it down bit by bit. And the Bible says that a pastor needs to be apt to teach. And so the Bible gives us understanding, and this is our final verse. Now we receive not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us. Which things also we speak, not in the words which the man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to them, because they are spiritually discerned. So if you want to understand all this, please, you can go to the website. We've posted the PDF of all these slides on the website. If you go and look at the podcast, you can listen to it. You can download that PDF and you can study it again and again. But if we want a spiritual breakthrough, we need the gifts of the Spirit in operation. And we need them to roll. And so, just so you know, my wife and I are on vacation next week, so don't stay home. Okay? Because we do, we'll watch. No. Brother Philip will be teaching. Let God watch you. I don't have time. You have vacation. I'm having vacation. So we're just going during the middle of the week. We'll be at the Sunday service and we'll be at the next Sunday service. But when I return, I'm going to teach on women in the church. Okay? Because some people say, well, if women are supposed to be quiet, how can they be used in any of these gifts? They can be. Just rest assured. And we're going to tell why Paul said what he said, when he said it, and we're going to give you plenty of illustrations in the scripture that women can be used in these giftings often too. So let's pray that God will use us. Can we do that again? Dear Jesus, use us and remind us this week. God, thank you for healing me of my warts. Thank you for healing me of the mumps. Thank you for healing me.